guys want to grab a chair and a mic? So before we start this, I know we've introduced the search committee a few times. I'm not on the search committee. I just got the short straw on doing a little emceeing tonight. But the search committee, I just want to mention again who they are, because they're the folks to go to if you have any questions or words of encouragement even. So Doug Halverson is the chair of the committee, Shanette Pye Finch, Ruth Callender, Linda Hill, and Orlin is on that, as well as Dwayne Hopp and Pastor Don. So that's the team that we appointed back, seems like a long time ago now, at our meeting back in January, and they've been busy at work. So welcome. It's really good to have you guys here. And of course, you've served in the area for a number of years, and so a lot of folks know of you at least. But even this morning as we met to hear a little more of the background of your story was really interesting and helpful for me. So I think, Dave, we'll just get you to start off by giving us a little bit of your personal background.
All right. So, yeah, I shared with the group this morning, and I'll hopefully share most of the same story so it's consistent. Kind of have that feeling at the border crossing here. I got to keep it straight. But I was born into a Christian home in Calgary. And interesting, both my parents were first-generation Christians. My mom left home when she was 14, came from a troubled home, alcohol and that sort of thing, and left and ended up at Prairie High School from Quebec. And my dad became a Christian at University of Alberta after encountering Jesus through the witness of somebody, I'm not even sure who. And so for both my parents, their faith was a serious thing for them. They went to Bible school. Both of them were teachers. My dad at SAIT and my mom at a kindergarten. But they both were heavily involved in the church. And so that's kind of how my faith started, just going to church every Sunday from birth, Sunday morning, Sunday night, weekdays as well. And for me, I became a Christian at a very young age. I became a Christian just before I turned 5, because my parents were involved at a Christian camp, Camp Chestermere near Calgary. I went to a chapel and heard something in the chapel, have no idea what, but had questions, and my mom led me to the Lord. And so that began my faith journey. But my faith, it was something I valued, but I didn't quite understand. And it wasn't really till I attended Camp Chestermere as a CIT at 13, where I learned more about who God was, and then experienced Him in a more powerful way. I don't know. I keep thinking I wasn't paying attention growing up, because it didn't occur to me to read the Bible. We would go to the church and we'd hear from it, but to read it personally, it just seemed like that was something an adult would do, not a young kid. But at camp, I was told you had to read the Bible for this CIT program. You had to memorize all these verses. You had to go out and pray. And it was my first real encounter doing that, and it was amazing how God spoke through His Word and through prayer and through the experience at camp. And that continued on as I was a CIT for a second year, then a junior counselor. And I think for me, it was really at camp where I learned that God answers prayers. We would be serving, and if you've ever served at camp, there's always one cabin that is just horrible, and so you hear the stories on the first night, or the morning after the first night, and you think, boy, we'll be praying for you, and we pray for kids and get to know their names. And it was amazing how over the course of a week, God would take these what appear to be terrible little kids and just melt their hearts and change them. And so for me, I never linked prayer to answers. Prayer was something you were supposed to do, but answers, who knew if they worked? But at camp, we'd be praying on a Monday, and we'd see answers to prayer that day or later in the week. And so that was really a place where my faith became real. And so I was baptized at the age of 16, and my experience was camp was sort of my spiritual high point of the year. Anytime I had an encounter with camp, whether it was a retreat over the winter or that was sort of my places where I would get spiritually encouraged, and then that would kind of drift off over the year. But The other difficulty I had growing up is we were part of a church. My family, it was a large church. This auditorium sat over 1,000 people. It was a great flagship church, but when I was going through my young teen years and later teen years, it was going through various little problems, whether it be staff issues, conflict. One of the pastors that baptized me left his wife for somebody else. Those kind of things. And so the church was gradually on the decline. And I just really struggled to understand how is it that the God of the Bible that we see so powerful in those accounts, how does that I reconcile with it, my church experience? And later on in my life, I realized, you know, through a time when God spoke clearly to me, he said, you know, it's not about what your church is doing, about what's happening there, but what about you? What are you doing to seek me? And that was a challenge to me to take my faith seriously, not to worry so much about what is going on in the church and not take responsibility for that, but to pursue God on my own. And that was an important thing for me. I would also say, I shared this morning, one of the things that really helped me in my struggles, I never struggled believing that God existed, but struggling, you know, what is this all about? One of the things that really helped me was an older gentleman in the church who just had a real fire and passion for the Lord, and he would share because of his mission he started from time to time. And I didn't like his preaching because it was an hour and plus, and you'd go home and the roast would be burnt because that's what you did back in the day. But his love for the Lord shone through. He wasn't talking for any other reason than that. He just was so excited about what God was doing in his life and so full of the love of God. And he didn't mentor me. He never really spoke to me, but he was just one of those people you looked at and said, yeah, God has to exist because I see it in this man's life. So that was a real powerful influence. And went to Bible school. I knew I didn't want to be a pastor because of what I'd experienced. I didn't necessarily respect what I'd seen, although I had pastors at that church who were just wonderful men. But I knew I didn't want to do that. But went to Bible school to get grounded in my faith. Another year later, I thought I should probably take another year, have more questions, and went through that. Later on in my final year, I went to Mexico with Elmer Fair, who some of you would have known from way back. And always appreciated Elmer and Sheila because we thought we were such a great help going out, me and three of my friends. We four young men who knew how to do missions and realized we were just a real... They loved us, but we were in their home and we were taking over their space and they had no place to hide and they had to drag us everywhere. But during my time in Mexico, I just really purposed to seek the Lord and just experience God in a wonderful way. And that was where I would say God spoke to me and called me into full-time ministry, to which I said, I don't want to be a pastor, but missions is great. I would have stayed there if I could have. My friends bought property down there with the intention of going back, but after wanting to do that, it just was clear to me that God didn't want me to do that. So returned back, graduated, met Ruth in that final year. And that's, I think, coming up in the questions why she was so madly attracted to me, but she'll explain later. And so came back, and at the end of my graduation year, I had an opportunity to go to Kamloops with Pastor Dick Reeve for a year's pastoral internship. And I thought it was a great opportunity, and it really was. Pastor Dick has mentored a lot of our young men who are not young anymore necessarily, but took them under their wing and would give them the experience of, okay, you've been to Bible school, now this is what it's like in church. So spent a year there, and after that had the opportunity to stay, but I didn't really know what I was doing, and I loved the year, appreciated Pastor Dick, but wasn't ready to continue on. And I had a girlfriend in Surrey, and that was before cell phones and email and all those wonderful things. So moved up to Surrey, we dated, got married, and during that year while we were there, we had an opportunity to go to Parksville with Pastor Dave Martin, and he invited us to come as a volunteer pastor to youth. They didn't have any money, but they needed some help, and so we went up there and did that. And it gradually turned into a half-time and then a full-time position. And we had a great, really good learning experience there. Really appreciated our time there with Dave and then my father-in-law as well. And I'm trying to think here, keep my story straight here. Near the end of our time there, we'd had a missions weekend, and we both felt coming away from that God had spoken to us. Ended going to Belgium for about 10 years, the first 5 years in a small town in an established church that had a fairly long history in terms of what's normal in Belgium, and trying to encourage that church forward. And then we spent another 5 years in a two-year-old church plant when we joined with them. And that was a really good experience. At the end of that, we had a young man who was ready to take over the church in the church plant. So we were wondering, what do we do next? And there were some issues in country with some of the leadership. So we looked at other opportunities, and we had a heart, growing heart for third world. Didn't find a fit, so we returned to Canada, and then ended up in Lavington, which is just a little ways down the road here. And we've been there for about 9.5 years. So that's sort of the story along the way. We've had 4 kids and then 5 by adoption. So that explains, yeah, some of the way I look tonight. So that's sort of the story, more or less.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Ruth, would you give us your background? Sorry,
I'm not, you should be picking this up.
Okay. I grew up in a Christian family, and like Dave, spent, it felt like a lot of days at church. And I became a Christian when I was 5 and went to camp as a teenager to a camp in Quebec. And that's where probably my faith really became real for me, was at camp. It was a little bit of a hard camp sometimes to be at, but it was a really good place to be. And then met Dave at Bible school, and he kind of covered the rest.
That's timing out.
Who are your parents? You have no idea who they are.
Gordon and Donna Reeve. Nice.
Very good. So the search team has given us a few questions to work through. And then you're also going to have opportunity. I don't know if I said that at the beginning of this. So you're participants in this evening as well. So this is going to be your opportunity to ask some questions in a few minutes after we work through a few more of the questions that the search committee has given us to start get things, the ball rolling. But if there's things that come up in the way along the way, then just keep your questions in mind so we can tackle those in a little bit. So the next question is, obviously it sounds like you met in Bible college, and what was the attraction? Ruth, what did you see in Dave that you thought this could be the guy?
Okay, well, he had recently returned from Mexico. So here was this guy, he was tanned and he was good looking, he had way more hair, and he just really loved the Lord. Like, that just oozed out of him, and I think that's what drew me to Dave. So.
Okay. She won't tell you that after I met her, I knew within a week I thought I could marry this girl, and it took her a lot. Maybe my tan wasn't quite deep enough, but it took some convincing. The thing I think I first noticed about Ruth is we were out with a group of people and we went 10-pin bowling, and she went to throw the ball and it went backwards, and people had to scatter a little bit, and I'm not sure what I liked about that, maybe just how she handled that, and it certainly made everybody notice her in the whole area. But I appreciated what I saw in her, you know, her natural beauty, but just as a person, she was a caring person and genuine, and I just saw a lot of really wonderful things in her.
Very good. And Ruth, if Dave has a day off to himself, or if he had a day off to himself, what would he get up to?
Well, he would probably still get up really early in the morning, only he'd get a little more time for his quiet time. That's usually how he starts his day. Then he'd probably have a long bike ride or a jog. And then I thought this question was actually really hard, because he'd probably come back and do something with the kids. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had a day to yourself. I kept thinking, well, then he'd do something with the rest of us. So that's what he would do if he had a day to himself.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't know if, I remember a pastor saying, if you have kids, you don't have hobbies. And not in a negative way, but that's kind of your thing. And same, I would say the same thing for Ruth when she has a day off to herself. It doesn't occur very often. I know that she loves to be in the house when nobody else is in it. And we really don't know what she does when we're all gone. But I think she just likes to kind of wander the spaces and just not have questions asked of her. She loves to craft and do that sort of thing. So when she has the opportunity, she sort of a quilter, but more short-term crafts. Something that goes pretty quick.
In little bites between nine other lives.
Yeah,
very good. So sometimes when you talk to people about their devotional life or spiritual gifts and so on, it's actually hard to answer about yourself. So I think the search team was trying to turn the tables just a little bit and get you to tell us about each other's devotional life and spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts. So Ruth, could you give us a snapshot of what you see, how Dave spends his time in devotions?
Okay. So Dave gets up early every day.
What's early?
Oh, 5:30 or 6. It feels early to me. And he would be the first to tell you that every day he's got to get his head on straight. So he would get in his car, because if he stays in the house, somebody will get up and have questions. And he'll go find a quiet place. I think it's been in Nanaimo, it's been at the beach. And he just spends time reading his Bible and praying. And often he'll read another portion of a book that just challenges him in his own faith. And I just really appreciate that, because I know I can trust his leadership in our family, because he's spending so much time with the Lord, and it's just calming for me when life seems crazy. So that's something that's pretty special for me. As for spiritual gifts, Dave is a server. He's a great encourager. He will be the first to probably offer to help somebody. Sometimes maybe a little harder to accept help, but maybe. And I always have loved to hear him teach or preach. I just feel like he can take something really tricky and break it down into something that I can understand, and I really appreciate that. So,
very good. Thank you. And Dave?
Yeah, so Ruth is less likely to get up in the morning early, and that's partly not because she's sleeping, but again, just it's part of her, the way she prepares for her day. So her quiet time, typically, it will sometimes happen in the morning, sometimes it's in the afternoon. She's instituted a thing called quiet time, which is partly to do with you can't make noise, but it is in that moment that she does have an extended period of time when there's usually no interruptions. And so she'll take her Bible and read and pray then. I think, too, probably she would say that her prayers, it's not so much there's a prayer time, but there's kind of little shots throughout the day, just because of the nature of it needs keep popping up. So you can pray at a certain time in the day, but you're going to have to keep that connection going later in the day. And then she enjoys doing a Bible study in the evening sometimes when she gets the opportunity. So, yeah.
Very good. And Ruth, I think that the search team heard quite a bit about Dave's passion for reaching the lost. So how would you describe that in your words?
Well, both of us love having people in our homes. In our home, we only have one. Sorry.
We have none.
No, we have none. That's true.
We do.
And we really love it when we get a chance when somebody doesn't really know Jesus, and we get to point them to Jesus. And it might not be the words we say, but it might be them seeing how we relate to each other as a couple or to our kids. And I really think that does point people to Jesus. Dave has a real love. He's always had a real love for, when we were in Belgium, we worked a lot with refugees from Eastern Europe. And just a real love for minorities. So here he's gotten to know, there's quite a few Jamaican farmers in Lavington that we were really enjoying having into our home. He's met several Syrian refugees in town. In Nanaimo, it's been a long year, and it's been sometimes a struggle. You know, what does God have, like, what's God got for us during this kind of season of our lives? We weren't expecting it to look like this. It's looked very different. And Dave's thing has been, well, if God's got me in this job, and it's just maybe to see one person learn a little bit more about who God is, then I'll take that. And it was really neat for him, because he invited his coworker to come to church with us, and she came, and She hadn't been in church since she was a little girl, and for personal choices, she was kicked out of the Catholic Church, and she came and she liked it. So that was just, she's not become a Christian, but that was, if that's all that that was about, then I think you'd say you'll take it.
Really good, thank you. So, Dave, obviously you've told us you have a large family. I would even dare say unusually large in our world. Anyway, it's awesome. I think it's awesome. But tell us how you see Ruth, how her personality works, how she is equipped to be the mom of a large family and a pastor's wife.
So I think for Ruth, she would say it started when she was young. Her dolls were orphans, and so there's something in there that she kind of, there was an attraction to that. But as far as actually stepping out, I think how God has prepared her is I would say she has a strong and fairly simple faith. Like when given the opportunity to take the steps that we have taken, it wasn't complicated. It was a big question, but it wasn't a hard question to answer. And so she's been given a unique courage, I would say. She's doing some things that are just hard. And so I think God has given her a sensitivity to his voice and call. I've never heard an adoption story where it's been the husbands go up to his wife and say, honey, I think we need to consider adoption. I've never heard that happen. So I'm not sure what that says about us guys, whether we're just kind of tuned out or whether, but God spoke to her and she heard that and responded to that. And it was something she just kept hearing because I thought we were done at one point, and she said, no, I had this conversation but I appreciate her courage, because the first one you go into, anything you do that's new, you're kind of naive, and then you get in a little ways and you realize, okay, this is really what it's like. And I appreciate her courage because she said, knowing what she'd already experienced, that it was hard, that she would do it again. And so I appreciate her courage, and she's got a tenacity. Some days I'll come home.
I'm stubborn.
You can be stubborn in a bad way or stubborn in a good way. And I kind of feel like I like watching football, and I always have admired guys that just get crushed on a play, and then they get up and they go back to the huddle, and away they go, and they keep going. And that's, there's been days I've come home and Ruth is just going, you won't believe what has happened today. And then the next morning it's like, okay, it's a new day. And she's a researcher, so she's encountered so many unanswerable questions along the way, and she said, okay, I'm going to find answers. And she reads the weirdest books, but there's, she's just taken upon her kids, and so, all that out of a deep love for her kids, and so she's a remarkable woman in that respect, and has a lot to offer. I asked her, why aren't they asking you to do this job? She's got a real gift and a real call and a real burden, and it's neat.
Thank you. We're going to let you sit down just a second. But just as we were talking, you mentioned hospitality and having people in your home. And I think all of us talk about hospitality and talk about having people in our home. And we've got one kid or two kids or maybe even four. But it's tough. So I'm interested in what that looks like at your house. What does hospitality look like, and how do you deal with that in probably fairly chaotic?
It's actually less chaotic maybe than it should. Maybe it's chaotic. Maybe I'm just immune to it now. But yeah, it's just, we like having people over. I'm not an amazing cook. I can cook. We're all okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm cooking already for 9 people every day, so a few more is fine. Right.
And is hospitality often like a meal or coffee or just a blend of all those things?
It depends. So with families, often it'll be a meal or dessert. The workers in the orchard, they would just come over and play pool and hang out. Sometimes they'd eat. So just depends.
Yeah. That's fabulous. Okay, we're going to give you guys a chance to start asking questions. Ruth, we really appreciate you coming up, and well, that's not the easiest thing. So thank you very much for doing that.